Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The title of this sermon is The Final Words of Paul. Paul wrote all of his epistles between 54 AD and 66 AD. 2 Timothy was written in 66 AD, the very last epistle he wrote. We're going to be looking at the last chapter of the last epistle Paul wrote. His final words. Paul had coursed the known world for nearly 40 years. From Acts 9 to 2 Timothy chapter 4, he had covered Asia Minor, most of Europe, Macedonia, Rome, preached the gospel to millions. He was an apostle. He built churches in Macedonia, Asia Minor, the church at Rome. He was the senior saint or father of the churches. He was looked to for advice. He wrote 13 epistles. Been put in prison not once, but twice. And this is the second time. This second time he was charged with insurrection and other things, and his sentence was already meted out. He just had not gone through it yet. He was sentenced to death by Nero, the Caesar of Rome at the time. Nero, you remember, is the one that destroyed Jerusalem, 70 AD. So just 4 years prior to that, Paul wrote this book. 1 year later, after writing this book, Paul was put to death. He was beheaded in Rome. If you're wanting to encourage, strengthen the resolve in someone, or give them written encouragement or help, and it was the last chance you had to do it, what would you write? What would you tell your son? It's the last chance you had to say anything to him. What would you tell him? I think of that often with my son. But here Paul had his last opportunity to talk to Timothy. Now, Timothy, Paul won to Christ. Timothy traveled with Paul. And by this time that Paul's writing this, he's writing to Timothy, who is now the pastor of the church at Ephesus. By the time this is written, the church at Ephesus, some estimate, could have been as many as 3,000 people strong. It was an incredible ministry, but there were many difficulties during this age, many hardships, many things that Timothy needed to know about, need to hear, needed to understand. He was a young preacher, Paul was a seasoned veteran. And so Paul comes to this fourth epistle, and he speaks first to Timothy, about the needs, the plans, the goals, the obstacles of church ministry. And we're going to look at this morning. Next Sunday, Paul stops and talks about himself, a very real way, his last words about his own life and what he wants to leave Timothy, and consequently leaves all of us. And so we have these two closing portions of this chapter. The two last things that Paul said. We're going to look at Timothy first. Now I know none of you are pastors, except one over here. But you can gather from what's being said to this man of God, from his senior, things that we need to do. Amen? That will be as incumbent upon us as they were upon Timothy. And so let's look at these things and see what Paul has to say. The first thing that Paul does is he places a challenge before Timothy. He says in chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee. The word charge is to challenge. It's not to try and find fault with or to correct. That's not what he's doing here. This charge is to multiply Timothy's awareness of what he was about to face. This charge was a challenge to Timothy of how he should do his work. This charge was a challenge to Timothy about how he was to live in light of all that was going to happen in the next few years. So this challenge was important. So he says to Timothy, I charge you. I challenge you. I want you to notice this challenge. Number one, Timothy is challenged with a proclamation. With a proclamation. He's supposed to say something. Amen? What good would a pastor be if he stood in front of you mute for 30 minutes? Amen? I know maybe you've heard some that you wished would have been mute for 30 minutes. I hope I'm not one of them. If I am, too bad. So he says to Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. These words are important. I want you to just notice those things. We'll get back to them. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Not Newsweek magazine. Not the fashion of the day. Not a book you've read. Not even a commentary that you may have used. Preach the word. Open the word of God and preach what the Bible says. It's never been man of God speak. It's always been word of God speak. And when the word of God speaks, then the man of God takes what the word of God says and helps you and himself to fully make sense of what's being told us. It's preaching the word. It's the word that changes lives, not individuals. I may have great ability in speech. I may be convincing in what I say. I may be moving in how I say what I say. But if it's not the word of God, all it is a chambering brass and a tinkling cymbal. It does nothing for you. It doesn't motivate you. It's the word of God. And so he says very clearly to Timothy, preach the word. Timothy was challenged with a proclamation. Let me suggest to you, we are challenged with the same one. Tenth chapter of the book of Romans. How shall they hear without a preacher? That's talking about those that are taking the gospel to others. So in a sense, you are to fulfill that obligation of preaching the word to others, sharing your faith with others, telling them your testimony, the testimony of salvation to others. It's preaching the word. Amen? Now I want you to notice this proclamation had witnesses. Suppose I'm going to tell you something and I want to validate it. I want to make sure you get it. So here's what I do. I bring in 10 professors from Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville who have studied this passage. And then I say to you what I want to say, and they agree with me on it. They testify that what I'm saying is true. They say that's what the word is teaching. That would validate what I have to say, would it not? Well, how did Paul validate what he said? Listen to this. I charge thee, therefore, here's his witnesses, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that does way more than any professor does. Because that puts Paul squarely in the vision of God the Father and God the Son, who are viewing what he's saying. And he's saying to Timothy, before them, I'm telling you this. This isn't something I've done or I've made up or I think is good. I'm telling you this word from them, before them, as my witnesses and witnesses to you, so that you might understand this is absolutely essential. When I say preach the word, God the Father, God the Son are saying preach the word. It's the power of those two entities, God the Father and God the Son, that make this so powerful. These words, this challenge, this proclamation had witnesses. It had a warning. Did you catch that? I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the warning. Who shall judge the quick at the dead, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The quick, that simply means those that are alive when Christ comes. The dead means those that have died before Christ comes. And he said, all are going to be judged. There's a judgment seat for believers. You're not being judged for sin. You're being judged for your responsibility to serve God. You're being judged for your work as a Christian. And he says to Timothy, there comes a time where there will be an answer. Everyone shall give an answer, the Bible says, of the things that they have done. And he says to Timothy, here's the warning. Timothy, he'll answer for what you do. What many people don't realize in church work, the pastor not only answers for himself, he answers for every single individual sitting in his congregation. The Lord may ask me someday, why didn't you say more to so-and-so about this? Why did you allow that? I will give an answer. But listen to me very carefully. Everyone sitting here shall give an answer. Before the judge, who shall judge Christ, the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. Timothy, preach the word. Preach it clearly. Preach it concisely. Preach it understandingly. Preach it simply. Preach the word. Let the people hear the word. Timothy was challenged with a proclamation. There were witnesses. He had a warning. Wait a minute. The challenge required work. Amen? Not to sit on his laurels. He says, preach the word. Then he says this, be instant. How many like that word? We live in a world of instant things. Amen? Instant coffee. Instant cocoa. Instant steak. It's everything's instant. They're eventually going to probably put stuff in a tube and you squeeze it out and that'll be your steak. Instant. This word instant really has a thought of now. Now. Be instant. And he says there's only two seasons for Christians. Amen? In season, out of season. And that means when it's convenient. And when it's not convenient, or you could say it this way, whether it's convenient or not, preach. That's your work. Do what you're supposed to do. Open this book. Study its treasures. Remind yourself of what God is saying. Apply it to your life. Become a plower in the field of the book. Amen? Work. Then it has states a problem. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. He tells him he's to reprove, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. Reproof is to challenge those who are going in the right direction. Rebuke is to correct those who are going in the wrong direction. If a preacher only preaches tickling ear sermons, you're not going to get much. How many know that sometimes you come into church, you wear a size 9, and you leave with a size 6 on? How many have had your toes stepped on? Yeah, I've had that happen. He's reproving, he's rebuking. Exhortation is a wonderful thing. But he said that what to exhort is with? Long-suffering and doctrine. Amen? Long-suffering is putting up with. over a long period of time. You know, God puts people in the church whom he chooses. God builds the church. How many know that? Now, if the preacher built the church, it would be different. He would have people only in the church that like him, only in the church that could take care of him, only in the church that agree with everything he said. That's not how God builds a church. God puts individuals in the church, and some are put in the church to keep the pastor on his toes. And God builds into that pastor long-suffering. And so he needs that long-suffering to be able to minister to those dear people whom sometimes rub him the wrong way and whom he sometimes rubs the wrong way. But along with that long suffering, he needs doctrine, the truth of Scripture. And he says the reason you're to do that, listen to this. Verse 3, for the time will come. There's a time coming when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's a warning. There's a problem. Here's the problem. Eventually, it's going to creep into the church, he said to Timothy. People that don't want to listen to you. They don't want to hear the word. They want to hear something make them feel better. They want to hear something so that when they go home, they don't have any kind of problems doing what they're doing for fear that it was wrong. They don't want to know right from wrong. They simply want somebody to come along who can tickle their ears. That's an interesting phrase. It means to make you feel good. It's the kind of thing you want to hear. But if all a preacher did was tickle your ears, folks, what on earth would you come for? For that, you can get that anywhere. You go to the bar and get that. No. They will not, the Bible says, endure sound doctrine. The Bible says they will endeavor to establish fake doctrine. The Bible says they will engage their hearts in apostasy. That's what he's saying in this verse. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will endeavor to establish false doctrine. And they will engage their hearts in apostasy. That was all coming. And here's this young pastor of a church. Paul's ending his life, closing it out. And he knows there's going to be problems. And he could have said, Timothy, don't worry, everything's going to work out fine. He didn't do that. He said, Timothy, there's going to be difficulty. And you have to be aware of that. This thing will eat you up and spit you out if you're not walking with God. You're not strong in doctrine. You're not living a life that is working for him. If you're not doing the things you need to do, you'll never spot it, and it'll go right by you. There's one other thing. Timothy is challenged to a preparation. Amen? Listen to what he says. Verse 5. But watch thou in all things, all God's people said.
Watchfulness. Watchfulness. Watch thou in all things.
That, if you could put that in the vernacular, write this by, to be watchful is to be alert. Be alert to spiritual dangers. Be alert to spiritual dangers. How many have ever been walking someplace and you weren't watching quite where you're taking steps and you fell? I can record that a dozen times. I've done that. You weren't careful to watch where your steps were going. Well, there are Christians that have done the same thing. We've all been there. We're not watchful, and so we fall because of spiritual danger that we did not see. A watchfulness is looking this way. Full view, so that we can see those things out in front of us. As Christ lights the way, so that we won't stumble or fall. It's a watchfulness to be alert to spiritual dangers. He's to prepare that way, he says. Be watchful. Then he says, endure affliction. Well, he was not so much focusing on the perils of being a Christian that would cause persecution and those kind of things, although that would happen. But this word affliction really has a thought more of attacks, personal attacks or criticisms. Criticisms, personal attacks. A pastor who's been a pastor any length of time has been attacked. Sometimes those attacks are so terrible, mean-spirited, hateful. My pastor in California, I was the assistant pastor, very young at the time, so you forgive me, if you will, for how I responded. A man in the church was hateful towards our pastor. He was renting a house the church owned and had not paid a payment on for 10 or 12 months. Not only that, he was undermining the authority of the pastor by talking about him. Gossip, gossip, gossip. So the pastor asked him if he had come and see him. I was not there the day, or at the time the man came to see the pastor. I arrived about 10 minutes later and was walking by the door. I heard behind my pastor's door a man cursing and swearing at my pastor. Out of control. Top of his lungs. And I checked the door and it was unlocked, so I unlocked and walked in. Opened it and walked in. And so he yelled at me. But he was across the desk and had my pastor by the shirt. And was saying this to my pastor. My response was not, please let him go. I simply grabbed the guy, pulled him off, and threw him against the wall. And I said, Pastor, are you all right? And he said, kind of in the moment, I'm going to get you to me. I didn't catch that, so I left and walked next door to my office, and I shut the door, and there was a window in my office. When I shut the door, he arrived at the door at the same time. You could see his face pressed against the glass of the door. And he was mumbling something. He was very upset, but he did leave. No pastor should endure that. No pastor deserves that. What would bring a man to that? Uncontrolled nonsense.
Well, Paul said that you're to endure affliction, and it means to stand up under attack. I think a pastor should be as kind and as gracious as he can. But when he's under attack for the wrong reason, I believe he has every right to say that's enough. I'll not hear that. Please leave my office.
And he knew that. Now, can you imagine in a church of 3,000? Chances of that happening are multiplied. He said, Timothy, endure affliction, buddy. Stand up under attack. And let me suggest to all of us, we got to do the same thing. You know, it's not Christian. It's not being a Christian to simply let people run over you. To walk on you. I think we need to be forgiving. We need to be kind and gentle. But that does not include people taking advantage of you because they think that you're not going to say anything, you're not going to correct them. Fooey on that. Some people need correction in the right spirit. And so these warnings help us because we know that we're to endure affliction. Then he says, do the work of an evangelist. And what he's saying here is, he said, people are going to come in having itching ears. Remember he said that? They're going to come into the church. These are non-believers. Well, how do you get rid of the non-believers? You bring in believers. Amen? You take care of the problem by bringing in new blood, so to speak. So he said, do the work of an evangelist. He said, replace the apostates. Win the lost in order to keep them from apostasy. Bring them to Christ so they'll not follow false teaching. Win them so that they will stand true to the things of God. Do the work of an evangelist, and that call is explicit for every Christian. Do the work of an evangelist. Then one last thing he says. He says this. Make full proof of thy ministry. To make full proof of one's ministry is to live as though you prove your calling. How do you prove you're a Christian? 10 things right in the wall? How do people know you're saved? They watch your life. They see a difference. They can't put their finger on it, but they know there's something different. They wonder. They ask searching questions sometimes. They give you an opportunity to sit down with them. Perhaps you have them over for supper or dinner or cookies or something. My neighbors came to the front yard and we sat in the yard and talked. And as you do, you're opening to them your life as a Christian. They see why you do this, why you're gone on Sunday. Why your yard looks so nice. Why you're careful to help others.
Why, when someone in the neighborhood goes to the hospital, you're there. Why does that happen? You're making full proof of your ministry. Though he would be attacked, though he would be questioned, his primary responsibility was to let his life so shine before men that they might see his good work and glorify his Father, which is in heaven. Folks, that's everyone's responsibility. Make full proof of thy ministry. Last thing Paul said. Did he say it right? I think he did. Was he helpful? Oh, I think he was. Did he fulfill his responsibility as a senior saint? I think he did. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, and his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Lord, help us to be willing to fulfill our ministry. Though we are not Paul, we are not Timothy, we can glean so many things from this challenge that, Father, we should walk in newness of life in a way that would be honoring to thee. God, meet our needs, supply our strength, and give us the willingness to stay true to the doctrines. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.